This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kirtan with me, Tan Chung Han and Brian Finnes with the top business stories of the day. Coming to you from a foggy morning in Bandar Utama. It's rainy and overcast and misty over here. Now, before we get into the business news, I thought the weather report was really important to make.
Well,
I was reporting the weather.
Fine.
Okay, convenience store chain MyNews.com has announced its results.
Yeah, so they've announced their latest quarterly earnings. Look, top line grew by double digits, but so did its operating costs. And so that resulted in some flattish net profit for the 3 months ending January 31st. Isn't that right, Brian?
Yeah, that's right. So basically, revenue went up 18% year on year to about 90 million. Operating costs increased also 30% on that period. However, their profits were down 0.33% to just about 6 million ringgit. But the main story here is the fact that they grew their stores by their store count by about 60. So they had 307 stores in January 2017. They're up to 366 stores as of January this year.
Yeah, and so when you look at the 30%+ on your growth for their operating costs, it's because of those added stores, right? And they're saying this is a higher staff cost, and also they're trying to roll out these ready-to-eat food and bakery projects. And you kind of see this theme going on across the convenience stores. It's not just somewhere you can just pop right in, grab your stuff, and walk right out. They want you to hang out there. You see that with MyNews, 7-Eleven, Family Marts, etc., which is...
But that's a trend that I think they've picked up from Indonesia, because those sort of store formats are very, very common. Also, if you go to a MyNews stores, and I have one downstairs from me, and I live in a new condo, they basically have tables, PowerPoints for you.
PowerPoints?
Yeah, I mean, PowerPoints, so you could actually...
Oh, right. Not Microsoft PowerPoints.
Plugs.
So essentially, you could charge your mobile phone there. You can basically buy your drinks, hot food.
They even give you Wi-Fi.
So I wouldn't want to hang out in a 7-Eleven. I mean, honestly, it doesn't have neither the warmth nor the
so you're so atas, isn't it? Because essentially, it's cheap and good.
No, I would go to a mama. I think much more interesting.
But in the aircon, what?
Yeah, maybe. And all your food in plastic, great for your health. There. Okay, so judging from MyNews expansion plans, they're seeing plenty of upside when it comes to consumer spending.
Yeah, I mean, well, looking at say the retail sector as a whole for this, right? Last year it grew by 2% on year. This is according to the Retail Group of Malaysia. This year it's expected to grow about 4.7%. So it's still growing, perhaps not at the rates that they initially expected. I think the initial estimate was about 6% growth for the retail sector for this year. But if you break it down, though, and you look at who's moving in, who's moving out, who's growing fatter, who's not, right, there appears to be this realignment of sorts in the retail sector.
Yeah, so in the last few years, the Malaysian retail sector has seen the closure and downsizing of large format stores, particularly the foreign players. So these include people like the Giant Cold Storage Group. They suffered losses from their financial year 2014 to 2016. They've reduced their number of stores from 146 to 134 now as of February 2018. Aeon has also closed 8 stores over the last few years.
Yeah, well, they closed 8 stores, but they added 3, all right? But so those are the big guys, right? The bigger guys are getting slimmer, I guess. But if you look at the smaller, nimble, more nimble players like the convenience stores, you're actually seeing growth there. 99 Speed Mart adding 200 stores for 2018. KK Supermart adding between 80 to 100 stores this year as well. On top of that, you got MyNews, you know, who added, 66, 70 stores,
70 plus stores.
Over the last 12 months or so.
So the question, of course, is why, right? Why are the hypermarkets shrinking? Why are these increasing? And are these related to each other? And often in the story that we tell about the retail, the retail sector, we often talk about e-commerce and whether the e-commerce segment is eating away at these traditional stores.
So let's look at, and we've often struggled to find hard numbers, but according to Euromonitor International, internet retailing grew from 1.3 billion ringgit in 2000. 2012 to 5.1 billion ringgit last year. So that's essentially a threefold increase in just 5 years. Now, this year, they expect it to hit 6.25 billion ringgit. Now, according to a MasterCard online shopping survey in November 2016, 3 out of 4 Malaysians actually shopped online. But there are also changes that are happening within e-commerce itself. You're starting to see convergence. So where online merchants are actually opening physical stores and then vice versa.
And then this death, I guess, if you can use that term, death for hypermarkets, is not just a Malaysian story, though. If you look in the UK, for example, they've been talking about this, you know, since 2012, 2013. You can find articles online about that, you know. And so it's a matter of convenience. So these retailers are having to go down to the neighborhood malls, neighborhood stores, having a convenience store at every other block where it's a lot more convenient, as opposed to going to your big hypermarket and waiting in line for like half an hour just to check out.
Yeah, that's why like the Tesco Express, for example, in the UK, I think that was one of the early experiments in terms of smaller format stores.
Mm. But then also, if you look at, say, you know, we have been looking at earnings and the numbers for specific formats, right? If you look at the likes of Nestle, for example, whom we hope to have on the breakfast grill here very soon, so make sure you guys, you know, stay tuned for that. Well, not today, but, you know, in the coming days or weeks, hopefully. If you look at Nestle's numbers right here in Malaysia, it's just been one way and it's going up, okay? Its revenue is just is just on the uptrend every year, on year growth. And these guys are supplying their products across to all formats, be it the 7-Elevens to the hypermarkets, right? From convenience stores and everything. So is that a healthy barometer of where consumer demand is here in Malaysia?
Yeah, so essentially, yeah, it's just the shift in spending that's happening. They're moving away from the smaller format stores, bigger format stores to the smaller format stores.
Okay, moving on. It's gong day for GDB Holdings. The construction services firm is set to raise over 43 million ringgit via this listing.
Yeah, so GDB will be the fourth IPO in Malaysia this year, all of them on ACE Market. Demand is hot, so the public tranche of their shares are oversubscribed by 43 times. Now, it appears to be bad timing, unfortunately, for the three companies that were listed on ACE Market earlier this year. All are posting year-to-date declines. Now, if we have the likes of Binaset, which is down 37% year-to-date, Wegmans, which is down over 13%, and QES, which is basically down about 9%. Year to date.
Yeah, and that's in line with what we're seeing with the FBM small cap index. They're down by about double digits year to date. Compare that with what the big boys are doing. FBM KLCI year to date, still in positive territory so far this year, up about 3.5%. You know, despite the sell-offs that we've been seeing, you know, in February or so, and also what we saw last week, and end of last week.
All right. So perhaps all the foreign fund inflows into local equities are going to the big boys. Now, according to MIDF research last week, foreign investors became a net purchasers of about 450 million ringgit worth of Malaysian stocks.
Well, that's significant because despite the sell-off that we saw in the US equities last week, you know, because after all, S&P 500 dropped about 6% last week. So perhaps foreign investors are finding refuge in Malaysian stocks, or perhaps seeing some value there. Malaysia and Thailand were the only ASEAN markets that attracted net inflows among all the markets that MIDF tracked.
Okay, but curiously, the number of listed options for equity investors here are dwindling. According to Bursa Malaysia, there are 77 fewer listed companies now compared to a decade ago.
Yeah, so we're now at 883 listed companies on the local boards. That's according to Bursa Malaysia's numbers. Well, 884 in about an hour and 5 minutes or so from now, you know, once GDB Holdings goes, it will get listed. So, it doesn't help that you see Malaysian companies who are actually listing overseas as well. I mean, to be fair, you know, Malaysia cannot compete against the likes of Hong Kong and Singapore, but it certainly dwindles the number of options that equity investors can get their hands on. Like, for example, recently there's news that OSK is looking to list its cable business on the main board of the Hong Kong board, so joining a slew of Malaysian companies listed over there.
Yeah, so PRG Holdings, also its 75% owned manufacturing arm, Fernie Webb Holdings, also made its Hong Kong debut in October 2017. I suppose Han, one of the key reasons for this is also the fact that sometimes they are able to get better valuations on these exchanges. The markets are more mature.
More liquidity.
Also because they understand specific sectors, for example, like the tech industry. A lot of tech companies go to the Australian Stock Exchange because they get better valuations.
Yeah, so you know, it's not just OSK who's looking to go over there. PRG is already in Hong Kong, Pentamaster already there, Parks and Retail, Genting Hong Kong, MCI, Media Chinese International, Guoco Group. So there's this article recently, you know, talking about how Malaysian companies like to go over there because of the relative similarities when it comes to the structure of their equity markets over there versus here. But I guess the question here is the domestic equity market here in Malaysia attractive enough, or does it remain attractive enough for companies to raise capital here?
So the question is, in terms of attractiveness, is the ringgit one of those factors? UOB, a Malaysian economist, Julia Goh, expects the ringgit to strengthen to 3.8 by year end. Now, is that going to help or, in fact, hinder people wanting to kind of buy into the equity market?
What do you think with a cheaper ringgit, you know, foreign investors want to get in now before it goes up to 3.8?
So they'll make now, right?
Exactly.
So,
yeah. But there's a big but. Future, yeah. The but is the overhang of the general elections. See, I tell you, man, everything just boils back down to these elections. It just needed to be happening. I mean, just needed to happen yesterday, you know, that's what I'm saying. This elections, that's cited as an overhang by Julia Goh. In fact, she sees the ringgit's value at 3.6 to 3.7. Once elections happened, and then seeing where the ringgit is, you know, perhaps that could be a further catalyst for more inflows.
Yeah, so basically, according to Bank Negara Governor Tan Sri Muhammad Ibrahim, he also commented on the ringgit yesterday and said that it's the most stable currency in the region. And perhaps then, you know, that the moment the overhang from the election basically happens, then hopefully we'll see more inflows into the stock exchange.
Yeah, hopefully. And just real quick on the stock exchange, I want to be fair here. So the Securities Commission, in their annual report, which was released recently, did point out that the market cap for equity share in Malaysia, it has grown by over 14% on year, I believe. And, you know, fundraising also, it's seen a rebound last year compared to what we saw in 2016, but not quite at the levels that we saw back in 2014, 2015.
We're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll be back with the Breakfast Grill. Today, our guest is Jose Juan Hugo, CEO of MCT Berhad. Kusu Chuang speaks to him. MCT Berhad made headlines recently when the Philippines property giant Ayala Land bought a majority stake in the company. And we'll be speaking to Hugo on the company's growth strategy post-takeover and the outlook for the property industry. So stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.